hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. How are you today, sir?
I'm better than Joe Biden. I'll tell you. Did you hear him yesterday? He was speaking at the White House on the back lawn there, the Rose Garden. And I guess it was a celebration, some sort of Jewish appreciation celebration. And he welcomed somebody to the White House. Unfortunately, the gentleman who he welcomed was still being held hostage.
Clock to free the main hostages, just as we have freed hostages already. And here is the day is Hirsch Goldberg Poland, and still he is not here with us, but he's still being held by Hamas.
Say what?
He's so confused. Then, right, as if that wasn't clear enough, he said this.
It has to investigate discriminatingly and aggressively. Discrimination aggressively. That's my special envoy to monitor cabinet anti-Semitism, Deborah, you all. Where is Deborah here?
I'm just wondering, you know, first of all, how do you applaud that? Because, first of all, you have to get a translator to figure out what he's saying.
Is he here? What the hell? You know, come on. Are you here, Joe? Are you on the stage?
Bill.
Where are you in your mind?
How is he going to do 2 hours of a debate? How? Especially
well, you know what?
A drug test.
Let's do a reality check. I mean, Pisacki and Carvel did a thing saying it's a 50-50 shot that there's going to be a debate, and I would say so. Now, they're saying, well, Trump is not going to show up and this and that. Well, what do they know?
Trump is not going to show up?
Oh, well, wait a minute now. Okay, reality check.
Right.
Is there going to be a debate?
Well, you know, I'm sure, based upon the case yesterday in New York, you know, and Marchand's little tantrum at the end there, and it's not
going. We can talk about that in a few. Yeah.
But I mean, they probably expected to put him in jail in New York, don't you think?
Yeah, I think there's still a good chance that they will put him in jail because Marchand is showing what he wants that trial to become. And the testimony yesterday from, who was it, Bob?
Costello.
Yeah, Bob Costello, who had some interesting things to say about, you know, Michael Cohen last week anyway, and some revelations. So, you know, him coming on the stand today, I mean, Marchand sitting there going, you staring me down? Yeah. Well, I mean, no, I'm not. Am I not supposed to look at you when I answer a question?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but what Marchand is saying is he doesn't like the way it's going right now, this case, because it's not going in the direction that he has been paid to take it.
I mean, if you're told by the White House, look, if you do this and you do that, then you can expect this to be the end result. And this is, trust me, this case is being orchestrated by the White House. I don't care what you're hearing. So the White House has probably told Marchand, just sit there, make sure this happens, make sure that happens, and it'll work out really well. Well, he made sure all those things happened, and it's not working out very well.
Well, let me ask you, the Fonnie Willis trial.
Right.
How's that working out for him?
Not very well. Not very well. As a matter of fact, okay. I think they just tried to get it removed again.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to do it. How's the Jack Smith trial going?
Not going very well. You mean the one down in Miami? Not very well.
Yeah, that one, yeah. So not very well, although, you know, and they're out there, the left media is trying to go back to the beginning and rekindle all the negative things that they've thrown out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how did the Stormy Daniels trial? Testimony.
Oh, that went over like a pregnant pole vaulter. So
okay,
yes.
and then well, there's Cohen. Uh-huh. You know, how did his testimony go?
Like a lead balloon.
All right, and then you got the old Engoron trial. Engoron did it was unveiled that he did a few things, so that's probably going to have to be resurrected and blown up.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Like screen doors on a submarine. Yeah.
It's okay, not even- so. Nothing is working for them so far, but the one thing that Marchand has is he's the federal judge. He can make, it doesn't matter what the jury comes back with, he can make his ruling, and since it's got the implications of being a federal criminal case.
I have a question. I know where you're going. I just want to ask you this one question. If Trump is elected, if he gets into office, can he affect the future of that judge? Do you think that federal judge?
Do you think he's got to make it?
Do you think
well,
his
okay.
Justice Department can go after him?
Yeah, but they'll say it's politicized, and hell yeah, it's going to be politicized. Yeah. You did it, so to undo it, you got to politicize it. I mean, we are in a very precarious place. The Democrats are backed into a corner, but the Democrats know one thing. One thing.
What?
America has a very short memory. So if they do their evil deeds and take out Trump any which way they can, America's going to be pissed. But there's enough distractions out there that we will soon forget. Do you remember Hawaii?
I do, yes. You and I do, but a lot of people don't. You know, the only thing is this. You know, you talked about politicizing it. What they've never had is a person like Donald Trump. Historically, if you punch Donald Trump, he will punch you back. I mean, that's just the way he has worked in business and in life. If you come after him, no holes barred. Now, I say that with a caveat. He was too kind to Hillary. He cut her too much slack.
And behind a lot of this. Yes.
Oh, she is. She absolutely. She said the day before yesterday, if Trump is elected into office, she will move out of this country.
Good. Get the hell out, Hillary.
I believe that Bill Gates said the same thing.
I will help buy the ticket on the boat to take them both out of here. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of money, so the boat may have a hole in it. But
that's true. It's a little leaky, but, you know.
And I'm sorry. We couldn't afford the life preservers, but.
Well, you know,
as I'm concerned, there's not going to be any life on that boat anyway.
You talked about the elections and will there be elections. I want to read something to you, which I thought was interesting, and it kind of ties in.
Well, I didn't finish my reality check, but let's do the election thing. Let's keep going on.
Well, we can come back to the reality check in a second because, you know, it's our show and we can do what we want.
Yeah.
This is interesting. In the Ukraine, the defender of democracy, Volodymyr Zelensky has outrun his constitutional presidential mandate, meaning his term in office is over. And he is now in power only by virtue of the martial law he enacted. He enacted martial law, which suspended everything. Everything was put in hiatus, stuck, suspended animation politically, and he is still president, even though technically his term is over. Could Biden do something like that, do you think, in this country?
Well, I was just going to say, Biden may want to take a good look at that and see how this, you know, putting everything on hold martial law thing. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
And I think that's the last-ditch effort, but I think it's on the table. The question is, are there going to be debates? You know, 50-50 chance. I don't think the Democrats can really even risk putting Biden out there on the stage. Trump is chomping at the bit
We just heard him at the top of the show. He was mumbling incoherently. I mean, if he were in an assisted living center somewhere, an aide would have come over and said, come on, Joe, let's go sit down and watch some television. It would have been... let's get him off the stage, or he's rambling again. And yet they put him out in front of the world to see him. I mean, anybody who's looking at this guy knows that he's incoherent.
Well, I don't know about the debates. I'm iffy about the election. The trial, it's evident to me that, and it's becoming evident, there are people that are women that are changing their opinion about Trump. That no, he didn't touch Stormy. This is in the mind of Stormy alone, and Democrats that want to seize an opportunity. I mean, look at the music film festival where they did a bio. It's a biopic on Trump, but it's not a real bio.
Oh, you mean
Cannes Film Festival. And actually, they thought they'd get raves, but actually, people are going, "That's a bunch of crap."
It's the Cannes Film Festival. It's a big motion picture event, and they screen new movies. I guess one of the movies, by the way, Bill, had a scene where this fictitious character is supposed to be Trump, and he's raping somebody?
Ivanka.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is only in motion pictures, friends.
Yeah, and didn't she just, for no reason at all, stumble down some steps and die?
Yes, she did. So she can't defend herself.
Yeah. No, she can't defend herself, but she's never had anything that I know of negative to say about Trump.
No, as a matter of fact, she got along well with her ex-husband. And her, you know, I point to their children that they had together who they love their parents, both the mother and the father. You know, it's amazing how the media...
People get into relationships, and sometimes they don't work out. It's, you know, you go into a partnership, but if you can depart amicably, then, you know, that says a lot about both sides. And given the fact that they were in that elevated circle, you know, up there, I don't want to say lifestyle because that's really the wrong term, but you know, the economic stance of their life and what it requires is not healthy for a long-lived relationship. And I think, you know, when you look at that and you know, the Dawn and everything that was going on, yeah, I can see that. It happens in celebritydom all the time, you know, but these celebrities are casting, oh, they can't do that. Well, why? You've been married 5 times. How can you cast it, you know?
Have you ever wondered, Bill, how Trump can maintain a marriage? He's on the road all the time. He's in either in New York or he's at a convention in Dallas or he's speaking in Minneapolis or he's at some kind of a rally somewhere. You know,
let's look at our career. You know, we did broadcast before we did this, which is not a Hollywood star. It is not a politician, but you're out doing promotions all the time. You're in the public eye. You're out doing all kinds of events. When you meet somebody and you really like them, they go, "Oh, great, man! You're in the media. That's cool." And then they see behind the curtain that we have to go through a lot of crap, and people that play in our sandbox are not the nicest people in the world, and then they go, "You need to get out of this rat race." Yeah, but what am I going to do for this kind of money?
Right.
We've gotten used to it. Well, can't you be a guy that pumps gas or something?
Yeah. Right. Well, let's see. Guy that pumps gas makes $15 an hour, and we make, you know, this much.
You know,
money.
It's like when I remember when you'd get fired from a job and you go to even somebody at unemployment said, "Look, you know, I see what you made. These are the jobs that are, we're going to send you out in some interviews," and I get it. You know, they said, "Whatever you do, don't tell them what you made, because that'll tell them right away you ain't getting a job, because you want a job until you get a job."
Well, you know, Trump lives in an extraordinary life. He has, fortunately, a family that understands and supports him, including his wife. And, you know, thank God, because I think that gives him the ability to approach all of these battles clear-minded. You know, he can go into these courtrooms and he can handle it. If he had a situation where his wife was giving him a hard time or his children were giving him a hard time, it would make his life miserable. And it doesn't seem to be the case. It seems that they're all standing, you know, and marching in lockstep, which is good. This guy Marchand, by the way, but what he said yesterday at the end of the day in the courtroom to Costello when he blew up was just beyond belief. It was like he was having a temper tantrum because Costello, they say, was the kill shot. Everything else during the trial was like wounding. But when the defense brought in Costello, his testimony was, it closed the door. It closed.
Can I ask you a question? Because what Marchand did yesterday was totally ridiculous. And it can't really come from the Trump team to say, "Oh, it's political." But could another judge step in and say, "Marchand, I'm sorry, but you've lost it on this. You've lost your objectivity. This case is done. You're out of here."
Well, it's a federal case, and I would think that, yes, they could. I'm surprised, by the way, that the Supreme Court, our Supreme Court, hasn't stepped in and said, wait a second, this is election interference. It's a violation of our laws. Everything you're doing right here is illegal, and we're going to put a hold on it. But they haven't.
Well, you know, they did an emergency session yesterday, but it was on guns and gun rights.
I didn't see a thing about that, Bill. I checked their docket. I saw nothing.
Apparently they did. It's been on the news, but, you know, I think it has to do with a New York gun case. And basically they voted 8-1 from what I understand, but they ruled in favor of our gun ownership rights from what I saw. So, you know, before you go and run away with that, you know, because my internet was doing weird stuff this morning. Last night I was working on different projects. So I'm just saying, I read it. I know it. My
I believe you. But what I think happens, Bill, is they suppress stories on the internet.
Well, hell, you know, I don't know if I sent you a thing on this one news source that's pretty new. They came out yesterday with a story that we talked about yesterday, the bases, you know, that have been where the gates have been crashed.
Absolutely. That is a big story that nobody's talking about.
Yeah, but they're all on it. So it was the first time I ever heard of them. Yeah, I emailed them and said, hey, it was nice to get this story. Keep sending stuff. We talked about it today. Here's our podcast if you've never heard it, you know. And,
I clicked on the link that you sent me, and they wanted me to subscribe. So I said, no. I said, thank you very much. But
They didn't want me to subscribe.
Well, it's because they like you better than me, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know, you know. But
you see where, probably heard about the Iranian helicopter crash that killed the
it was an old helicopter, by the way.
They killed the president of Iran and the foreign minister. By the way, the president of Iran, Ibrahim Raisi, they have referred to him as the butcher of Tehran. He wasn't loved by the people. The people, they have a video of the people cheering and drinking toast to his demise.
Now, is it the... The head of Saudi Arabia? He's very ill right now. Has to go in for surgery.
That.
Yeah, he's
the king of Saudi Arabia. What's his name?
Salman or whatever it is.
Is it Faisal? No, I'll have to check.
But we'll have to check. But either way, one of these guys. But that means Middle East oil.
Oh, I know. It's
unstable right now.
Yeah, you know. But getting back to this helicopter crash in Iran, right? Iran is not a close buddy of ours, but the Biden administration sent their sincere condolences to the government of Iran on the demise of their president. Which would be folks like during World War II sending condolences if somebody in the Hitler administration, his regime, were to have died. You know, sorry to hear about Heinrich. What was his name? Rudolf Heinrich? Anyway, there was an assassination of one of Hitler's leaders back in 1941, and it would be like Roosevelt sending his sincerest regrets. Anyway, so that happened. Another very big story happened yesterday, Bill. I don't know whether you heard about this, but the International Criminal Court, ICC, they came out and they actually issued... I thought this was incredible. Arrest warrants to Bibi Netanyahu and one of his aides, and also they issued, arrest warrants to some Hamas leaders, but they didn't say. But the Netanyahu one was amazing. I want to play a little bit of the announcement.
Sure.
This is the ICC issuing a Netanyahu arrest warrant. Now, mind you, before we go any further, they don't have any really authority. I mean, they can issue an arrest warrant, but Israel's not a member of the ICC, International Criminal Court. And it's still a slap in the face to not just Netanyahu, but to the Israelis. Here's how they issued it yesterday, some of it.
I can also confirm today that I have reasonable grounds to believe, on the basis of evidence collected and examined by my office, that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Minister of Defense Yoav Gallant bear criminal responsibility for the following international crimes committed on the territory of the State of Palestine from at least the 8th of October 2023. The crimes include starvation of civilians as a method of warfare, willfully causing great suffering, serious injury to body or health, or cruel treatment, willful killing or murder, and intentionally directing attacks against a civilian population, as well as crimes against humanity of extermination and or murder, persecution, and allegations of crimes of committing other inhumane acts. It's alleged that these crimes were committed in the context of the ongoing armed conflict and as part of a widespread and systematic attack against the civilian population of Gaza pursuant to a state policy. Unfortunately, these crimes continue to this day. My office submits that these individuals, through a common plan, have systematically deprived the civilian population of Gaza of objects indispensable to human survival. We have reached that conclusion based upon interviews with survivors, many eyewitnesses, experts, from satellite imagery, statements from Israeli officials, including the two individuals subject to the present application, as well as based upon several hundred authenticated videos, photographs, and audio recordings, many of which were taken and shared by victims and eyewitnesses themselves. This systematic deprivation resulted from a decision to impose a total siege on Gaza by completely closing the three border crossing points, Rafah, Kerem Shalom, and Erez, for extended periods of time and by arbitrarily restricting the transportation of essential supplies, including food and medicine, through the border crossings after they were reopened. The siege, the total siege, also involved cutting off cross-border water pipelines from Israel to Gaza, which is the principal source of clean water for the population in Gaza.
That's his name is Karim Khan. And now I'm not saying anything, but he's the International Criminal Court's prosecutor, Karim Khan. Don't let the English accent fool you, okay? I mean, he probably was raised in England, but I think he has an agenda, this guy.
You think?
Well, you know, I was thinking as he was listing all of these deeds, would he have issued an arrest warrant in 1944 on, let's say, Franklin Roosevelt for allowing the United States to bomb Dresden or one of the cities, other cities in Germany where they had, firestorms. It was terrible. And, yes, innocent people died.
Well, you didn't have a global stage then with the media.
Right.
Or at least the global stage that you got now. But, you know, with everything that's going on over there, it's almost like we're setting up the Battle of Armageddon here.
Well, Bill, I want to play for you the response from Netanyahu yesterday. And he did it in English because, you know, he's a very articulate guy. He went to school here. He sounds sometimes like he is more from this country than from Israel. But he came out. And he was powerful. Listen.
The outrageous decision by the ICC prosecutor, Karim Khan, to seek arrest warrants against the democratically elected leaders of Israel is a moral outrage of historic proportions. It will cast an everlasting mark of shame on the international court. Israel is waging a just war against Hamas, a genocidal terrorist organization that perpetrated the worst attack on the Jewish people since the Holocaust. Hamas massacred 1,200 Jews, raped Jewish women, burned Jewish babies, took hundreds hostage. Now, in the face of these horrors, Mr. Khan creates a twisted and false moral equivalence between the leaders of Israel and the henchmen of Hamas. This is like creating a moral equivalence after September 11th between President Bush and Osama bin Laden, or during World War II between FDR and Hitler. What a travesty of justice. What a disgrace. The prosecutor's absurd charges against me and Israel's defense minister are merely an attempt to deny Israel the basic right of self-defense. And I assure you of one thing. This attempt will utterly fail. 80 years ago, the Jewish people were totally defenseless against our enemies. Those days are over. Now the Jewish people have a state, and we have an army to defend our state. Notwithstanding the blood libels Mr. Khan has leveled, Israel will continue to wage this war in full compliance with international law. We will continue to take unprecedented measures to get innocent civilians out of harm's way and to ensure that humanitarian assistance reaches those in need in Gaza. Mr. Khan also sets a dangerous precedent that undermines every democracy's right to defend itself against terror organizations and aggressors. The ICC has no jurisdiction over Israel, and Mr. Khan's actions will not stop us from waging our just war against Hamas. But Mr. Khan's abuse of this authority will turn the ICC into nothing more than a farce. He's doing something else. He is callously pouring gasoline on the fires of anti-Semitism that are raging across the world. Through this incendiary decision, Mr. Khan takes his place among the great anti-Semites in modern times. He now stands alongside those infamous German judges who donned their robes and upheld laws that denied the Jewish people their most basic rights and enabled the Nazis to perpetrate the worst crime in history. 2 weeks ago, on Holocaust Memorial Day, I pledged this. No amount of pressure and no decision in any international forum will prevent Israel from defending itself against those who seek our destruction. To all the enemies of Israel, including their collaborators in The Hague, I renew that pledge today. Israel will wage our war against Hamas until that war is won, because never again is now.
Never again is now. Wow. You know, for the young people, Bill, in our audience, mm-hmm. who are not really students of history, I'd like to explain to him what in World War II, in Nazi Germany, you know, they had trials, they had courtrooms, there were verdicts and decisions, and if you walked into a courtroom, if you were on trial in World War II in Germany, you would sit in the dock like you would in England or the United States, and a judge would walk into the courtroom, several, sometimes a few judges, maybe two or three judges, and they would have the you know, robes on, and they would be in a very official-looking room, and you would be judged. But they would judge you with lies. They would judge you with untruths. They would judge you. They would actually judge you before your case was even started. You would, and that's how they worked it. It wasn't honest. And this ICC thing, I should explain that when Trump was in office, he took the teeth out of the United States' participation in the International Criminal Court. He wasn't participating in the ICC. But when Biden got back into office with an executive order, he rejoined all of those things, the Paris Accord and things like that. He reconnected and gave them authority again. You know, because without the United States behind the ICC, it wouldn't be much, you know. But and Trump knew that. But look what they did. They abused their power. They went after a leader of a country that's trying to defend itself. A democracy. Amazing stuff. What did you think about the ICC charges, Bill? I mean, this is something that is very much the 21st century. This is in some ways, it's like the Trump cases. You know, they're using.
Yeah, I didn't hold a lot of water to what they were saying. They have no authority to do what they're doing. It's like I said, the stage that they got is the global microphone.
Yep.
Now, on the other hand, I thought I was listening to Netanyahu, and I thought that he was very articulate, very well spoken, and he actually commands the English language better than most citizens do here.
Oh, I know. He's a very articulate guy. He really, but you know, he's fought in a number of the Israeli wars. He lost, I believe, his brother in the raid on Entebbe. Netanyahu family has paid in blood for their position in Israel and for the, you know, the independence of that country. So for this guy Khan in the International Criminal Court to issue an arrest warrant, not a condemnation, not an arrest warrant, like, let's pick him up, put him in chains, get him into jail. Amazing stuff. I don't know whether the arrest warrant has any teeth. I do not know. I don't know whether there are some countries that would recognize the ICC, and if Bibi Netanyahu stepped foot in those countries, whether they would arrest him on the ICC charges.
Probably so. I you know, look at what's going on in our court systems. People that really don't have authority to do anything, or courts that don't have authority to do anything do.
Yeah.
Look what's going on in New York. I mean, New York is the stage to take down Trump for basically the way their laws are and the fact that they change. Look, they're a tool of the Democrats. So
yeah, I don't know. People, I hear people saying, "Oh, this is a slam dunk case. Marchand has, this case is lost for the left." I just don't trust the system anymore.
Well, I don't know where the jury is on it, but I'm of the opinion that they are going to rule in favor of Trump because they got to see through this. If they don't, then they're dumber than I think they are, because even the news media is going, this is not going well.
Wait a second. Based upon Marchand's outburst yesterday, Bill, do you think that Marchand, would it be beyond him to step in and overturn the jury's decision?
Okay, that's you just dotted the I's and crossed the T's to what I was saying. I don't think it matters what the jury does. I don't think it matters about the testimony. Mm-hmm. It has been a foregone, predetermined, you know, result for this conclusion that Trump is guilty. He's going to prison, and he's not going to make it to the debates, and he's not going to make it to the election. And there it is, end of story. That is the Democrats' last stand, because if for some reason he blows by all of this, or the Supreme Court steps in, you know, he's Trump. You know, he looks like he's going to be suffering from lead poisoning. I'm not saying that to be mean, evil, joke, anything. I'm just saying
You're afraid that they have a final solution to the Trump problem. We just haven't seen it yet.
Well, if I don't know, you know, you look at people that have surrounded somebody else in politics, they get Hillarized, and they get lead poisoning or something like that.
In case you don't know what that is, there's a whole list. Am I correct, Bill? Of people who've been involved with the Clinton family over the years.
I think there's more people than there are states in the U.S.
Oh, I think you're right. It's a substantial list of people
who
have gone against the Clintons and actually met their demise physically. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, but
it's just one of those weird things that happen.
I don't know. I'd like to think that Trump has got a substantial group of people behind him, working with him and also protecting him. So that doesn't happen. See, I think, Bill, in all honesty, I think that they would have taken him out already if they could. I mean, we saw what happened. We heard about a possible attempt on him in Wildwood. We talked about it on our show last week. Nobody else has mentioned a word about it anywhere. Supposedly, there was an attempt there. But then you hear from people who say, trust me, there have been more than that. There have been many attempts on his life that you just don't hear about.
Well, I look at I just look at everything that's going on. There are attempts on his life. I mean, we've heard, you know, the things, the undertow of it. But you look at when Trump is out, you know, look at it, the motorcade. You look at the security detail. It's big, and you wouldn't have that unless, you know, his life was in danger and he needed to be protected, and he should. Kennedy should be protected because he's a viable candidate. I'm not for Kennedy, but I'm, you know, because I have a few issues against him, and I think he made some bad moves. But the simple fact is, if they, you know, if it got down to, you know, Trump, Biden, Kennedy, and Trump ain't going to be it, it ain't going to be Biden in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm...
Well, socially, I'm not with Kennedy at all. His social policies, in my opinion, stink. But there are some things that I think are interesting. And I think, by the way, he's a serious, articulate guy who means well. And I don't think he's quite as political as Joe is. What's interesting is Joe has a bust of Robert Kennedy in his office, like it's important to him. Yet here's his son, Robert Kennedy's son, running for the presidency, the same presidency that Robert Kennedy ran for in 68 and cost him his life, you know. And Joe will not do the stand-up thing and offer him protection. This, to me, is the most obscene, blatantly obscene thing in the whole campaign season.
Biden and the Democrat Party have black sheeped him.
Oh, they have. Absolutely. They've.
And he is not a black sheep. I mean, you don't go along with a lot of things socially for him. I don't either. But that doesn't mean he's a bad guy. You know, we have differences. But I think that's a guy that will at least sit down and talk. Sounds like an endorsement. It's not an endorsement at all. But, you know, just given everything. Now, there was something there. Either way, given everything.
I think in all honesty that I hope to God that nothing serious happens to President Trump because he's doing everything up and he's doing above and beyond the call of duty. I mean, here's a guy who just doesn't need the job, and yet he's standing up and doing the patriotic thing for all the right reasons. And if you don't like the president, President Trump, my question is, well, how can you look at the two and go for a blithering idiot like Biden, a corrupt blithering idiot? This is a guy. It would be one thing if he was just a stumbling, bumbling, you know, doddering old guy, but he does a lot of bad things along the way. He approves a lot of evil things along the way. This guy is not a good guy. You know, when I hear people say, oh, well, he's a devout Catholic, horse crap. He's not a devout Catholic, believe me. He is anything but. He talks about Christianity. I don't know. I just think you can't lie as much as he lies constantly and be a devout Christian. I mean, he says the other day, I don't know if you heard this or not, he said that during the pandemic, President Obama sent him to Detroit to help work things out in that area. Obama was out of office 3 years when the pandemic hit. Yeah. Biden wasn't in office, you know, yet this guy lies.
Speaking of pandemic, I didn't send you the video, but I'll have to send it to you after the show, so maybe we can maybe do something with it tomorrow, maybe not. But you had the pandemic, which, you know, that was manufactured. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that. And it had everybody locked down, trained to be in mask, you know, locked in place.
Right.
You know, and we've lightly talked about the bird flu. Well, it turns out now that in the United States, some of the virus has been, and it can be treated. Nobody has to die for it, but it can be treated. The handlers of birds might be the only ones in danger, but you know, they have been manipulating it in laboratories here, you know, function of study or whatever you call that.
Yeah,
they're doing that, but now they're saying it's going to be a pandemic here in the next few months, and that we're going to have to go back to mask and lockdowns. You know, do they not think
what's it called? Chain of function.
That's it.
Yeah.
And do they not think that they kind of wore this play out?
They denied it, Bill. For the longest time, they denied that they were manipulating it in Wuhan labs, and then recently they said, okay, yeah, you're right, we were. I mean, and it was like an afterthought. I'm talking about within the last month or two, the powers that be finally admitted, yeah, well, there was some chain of function work on it.
It traces back to the Obama administration. It traced his back way back. It was manufactured. It shut down America. It took out a sitting president that should have still been in office,
yeah,
and things be different, but it did. And now we know it was manufactured. We know that the shots don't work, that they were, that was all just a lie to us. But yet we forget. We don't, you know, we forget about it as if it's forgiven. Oh, no, you shouldn't forgive this, and that they want to play it again.
Yeah.
Because again, back to what we said earlier in the show, you know, people don't remember. Start remembering. Make
it's
notes.
Important that you take the time to remember, even if you're not political. A lot of us have like real lives that are all consuming. Got to pay bills, got to feed the family, got to do this, got to do that. You have certain job obligations at work that require your total attention, and you just aren't paying attention to what's happening with the government and politics. And all you get are little dribs and drabs, and sometimes people make up their mind about somebody based upon the smallest little information. Oh, mm-hmm. Trump, he can be really nasty sometimes in his tweets. Oh, to heck with his tweets. Look at his policies.
Trump does that. He attacks. But the Democrats, they sit there. Have you seen the nasty memes? You know, they say Trump is nasty. I'm sorry, but the stuff that the left is putting out there is 10 times worse, 20 times, 100 times worse than what Trump does. So for them to sit there and call him nasty, mean, evil, rotten, shouldn't be walking the face of the earth, take a good look in the mirror.
You know, because you talked, Bill, about the aspect of the media being a leftist tool. You basically is what you said. The left owns the media. To that point, Marco Rubio was talking with Kirsten Welker. We played a little bit of it yesterday, but I want you to hear more of it. I want you to hear how she's supposed to be a neutral arbiter, somebody who's supposed to be asking interesting questions and waiting for the answer. She's supposed to be listening. I want you to listen to how it goes.
Will you accept the election results of 2024 no matter what happens, Senator?
No matter what happens? No, if it's an unfair election, I think it's going to be contested by either side.
Senator, no matter who wins.
I think you're asking the wrong person. The Democrats are the ones that have opposed every Republican victory since 2000. Every single one. It's Hillary
Clinton. No Democrat has refused to concede. Hillary Clinton conceded. Senator, will you accept the election
results? Hillary Clinton said the election was stolen from her and that Trump was illegitimate. Kamala Harris agreed. We have Democrats now.
Senator, she conceded the election.
She said that Trump was illegitimate. She said that the election had been stolen. Kamala Harris agreed. By the way, there are Democrats serving in Congress today who in 2004 voted not to certify the Ohio electors because they said those machines had been tampered with. And you have Democrats now saying they won't certify 2024 because Trump is an insurrectionist and ineligible to hold office. So you need to ask them. I think you've had have you ever asked the Democrat this question on your show?
Senator?
I bet you've never asked the Democrat that question.
Senator, you voted to certify the 2020 election, and here is what you said on that day that you voted to certify the 2020 election.
Yeah. Democracy is held together by people's confidence in the election and their willingness to abide by its results.
So by your own definition, are Donald Trump's claims undermining Americans' confidence in democracy, given that he has not conceded the last election, and he just said in recent days twice that he won Minnesota, Senator?
I think what undermines people's confidence in the election is when you have places like Wisconsin with over 500 illegal drop box locations, when you have places like Georgia where liberal groups are paying people $10 per vote. No, but listen, what undermines elections is when NBC News and every major news outlet in America in 2020 censored the Biden laptop story, which turned out to be true, not Russian misinformation, unprecedented. Only you couldn't even talk about it on social media. They would deplatform you. People look at all this. They look at what happened in Arizona, 200,000 ballots that had the signatures didn't match.
Senator,
people will lose confidence, and it opens the door to this.
I have to jump in here. Senator, you voted to certify the election, and
because at that stage in the process, you have no options.
Senator, you voted to certify the election. Nothing has been censored on this program. Hillary Clinton.
Gag me. She is determined to get her point. Mind you, they played a clip, in my estimation, that was something which was truthful. You know, and he didn't say anything.
Look,
that was out.
Sometimes
of,
you have to go with, you know, saying, well, you know, I don't believe this election, but until I have proof otherwise, it has to move forward. And I went back yesterday and I looked. I said, well, you know, I don't remember. I remember Hillary going off in a pouting spout, and then later on, somebody said, yeah, I don't think the words were that she concedes.
No.
She didn't, you know, they didn't say that she conceded, but I listened
Hillary
to her coming
concede.
Down.
Hillary.
She never, she said she wasn't happy with the results.
Right.
Well, if she wasn't happy with the results, she didn't say she conceded. She accepted the fact that we got to move on, and I don't know that I would call it wishing.
I don't think she ever accepted it. She, from what I understand, for about 6 months, she went back to Chappaqua and sat around in her pajamas crying. She was not somebody who was accepting it like a dignified adult. She was ticked off. And to this day, if you sit down with her and interview her and ask her about the election, she will come across and say, well, I think the election wasn't an honest election, and we honestly won. She will say that she won the election. But Kirsten Welker has an agenda. Her agenda is to minimize and to pull apart Marco Rubio. She met her match.
A Democrat can sit there and say, I don't believe this election. You know, and you have to accept the fact that they don't believe it. That's their right not to believe it. Now, if you're a MAGA, you're a hillbilly, you're just stupid. You're an election denier.
Yeah.
Just get on with it. We won it. We stole it. Whatever you call it, accept it. Screw you.
Well, you know, that was somebody on NBC, and NBC has proven to be nothing more than a tool, a useful tool of the left, the Democrats. Okay, that's all right. That's fine. If you don't believe that, maybe you're a Democrat and you're going, oh, that's not true. Yeah. NBC is a great network. I listen to NBC all the time, and I love Joe Scarborough. Well, then, there's nothing I can say to convince you, okay? Because
NBC, CBS, yeah. ABC, and CNN, they're as useful as toilet paper to me, and that's about it.
I want to remind you that in the last election period, Fox wasn't terribly reliable either. Fox showed their true colors. You say, Fox, my God, I watch Fox. There are some great people. There are some great people on Fox. Maria Bartiromo is great, and Jesse Waters is great. But there are a lot of people on Fox who aren't honest with us, okay? Case in point, Elise Stefanik, who's a big Trump supporter, she was on with Shannon Bream. Now, Shannon Bream is a Liberty University graduate, and she talks about her faith. It means a lot to her, and she believes in honesty and stuff. But you have to understand something, folks. This is very, very true. Trust me. People change based upon their economic situation. For example, if you are starting off in a network and you're just a reporter, you might make $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year because you're just out in the street pounding the pavement. But as you grow in stature in the network, you get bigger leaps and bigger pays, and all of a sudden you become a star of the network. For example, mm-hmm. I case in point, Shannon Bream, where she hosts the Sunday show, you know, was a special report or whatever, not special report, Sunday edition of it. So I forgot the exact name, but it's like their Meet the Press, and she's doing it, and she's a big star now, and she's probably making seven figures, maybe eight figures. I mean, she's doing a lot of money. She's making a lot of money. All of a sudden, people start telling you, well, we want you to push it this way. We want you to be a little harder on Elise Stefanik. We want you to kind of, and you're not going to argue because, you know, you're making a lot of money. And all of a sudden, you know, you're not living in that small little three-bedroom ranch anymore. You're living in a real nice place with a new Mercedes, maybe two, and life is a lot different. You don't want to lose it. Another guy like that is Bret Baier. I heard that he changed a lot with his economic growth. But anyway, Elise Stefanik was on with Shannon Bream. She might have been somebody you could count on, Shannon, maybe 5 years ago. But I'd keep an eye on her right now. Here's how she handled Elise Stefanik.
I want to talk to you about the Veep stakes. Your name is continually thrown out as being on the shortlist, potentially, that this trip may be part of an audition. The New York Times did a lengthy piece where they talk about your transformation, they say, from somebody who was not supportive of President Trump to somebody who is full-throatedly supportive of him. They say you called him a whack job at one point. They add this. In August 2015, she told a New York radio station that he was insulting to women and that his candidacy would hurt the party's efforts to attract female voters. According to her former friends, they continue, she thought Mr. Trump was too awful and ridiculous to be taken seriously. Her revisionism still shocks those who have known her the longest and who remember the disdain she expressed for Mr. Trump back then. So the question is when, more importantly, why did you change your mind about President Trump?
Well, Shannon, it's a disgrace that you would quote the New York Times with nameless, faceless,
but they're quoting your
sources.
Friend, so I'm giving you a chance to respond
to Shannon,
that.
Shannon, they're not quoting my friends. Those names are not included because they are false smears. I was attacked as the
fair,
only
there are
Republican
a number
from,
of names
no, Shannon,
of people.
Shannon,
just to be fair, there are a number of names
Shannon,
of people
no,
who
Shannon,
are quoted in the
you.
Article.
Shannon, let me
people
correct you.
People can read
you.
It for themselves.
This is a false smear, and let me tell you a fact, Shannon. In 2016, I was attacked as the only elected Republican from the Northeast who voted for President Trump. Democrats spent hundreds of thousands of dollars attacking me for that fact. So to say that I didn't support him is just false. I have been proud to be one of the strongest supporters, going back to when he ran for 2016, which was when it was my first reelection to the House. I have strongly supported him. He is going to be the next president of the United States. The American people know that. My constituents know that. And I'm proud to be one of his strongest allies in Congress. I have always put my district first, New York 21 first, and America first. And this is an opportunity for us to stop the failures of Joe Biden and elect a president who led to a booming economy, a strong national security.
I understand.
But my record speaks for itself,
now.
Shannon.
But let me ask you.
My record stands for itself.
Let me ask you, though, because they quote you on a radio station calling him insulting to women. Is that a misquote? Did you not say that?
I said the statement that the Democrats leaked out in 2016, that was insulting. However, Shannon, I stood by and supported him, and I strongly support him. And he has done so much to promote women in senior positions, as well as promote women's economic opportunity that we experienced under the 4 years of his administration. So I've been proud to support him. It's a disgrace that you would take a New York Times article and just read negative quotes when the reality was I was the only Republican elected woman from the Northeast who voted for him in 2016, who has strongly supported him, and I'm proud to be one of his strongest allies today.
Okay, we know where you are today. Folks can go read that article for themselves. There are plenty of names, people who went on the record, and we'll leave it there. Clearly, you are supportive of him now, and we will track and follow where you are on the campaign
trail. As I was supportive of him then. As I was supportive of him then, Shannon, in 2016, as you know, so I hope you will tell the viewers that as well, which I voted for him in 2016 and was attacked for doing so.
Congresswoman, we always appreciate your time. Safe travels.
Thanks.
Yeah, he was really happy with that interview. But understand something. I love when they do this. They quote the New York Times. Mind you, the New York Times is
the left piece.
Most partisan rag out there.
Yeah.
And many times their articles are based on reliable sources, or the source wished to maintain confidentiality. Well, come on. Even here, Shannon Bream says, well, a radio station says, which radio station, and where did they get their facts?
Guy shining my shoes said, yeah, I know, it's stupid, but they
do it all the time.
They can make a fact out of anything. Well, you know, all they got to do is claim somebody to back up the story, and it's a fictitious person. I mean, look at all the things against Trump. Look at the story that Adam Schiff wrote. It was all fiction.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah. Well, you know what Adam Schiff did before he was a representative?
He's a scriptwriter, failed one at that, too.
That's right.
He never made it.
An aspiring screenwriter. He wanted to write movies.
You don't hear about him right now. I don't have the story right in front of me, but, you know, he was running for, because he's trying to go in the Senate, and I guess he violated some kind of thing about where he resided. So there's that going on out there. But nobody talks about it in the media.
Oh,
because
no.
He's going to be a senator.
He's one of them, Bill.
He's one of them. So whatever goes. There was a thing on the X over the weekend, because I guess Hillary was doing a thing in Inglewood, California over the weekend. And she was sitting there claiming that history will show her, or will show the people, that she won the election in 2016.
Well, you know, why didn't Kirsten Welker talk about that?
Well, because it happened after her, you know, because this happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, no, I guess she could have.
Of course she could have.
She's in a newsroom. She has all that stuff at her side.
You would think. Yeah,
because today's Tuesday. That interview, I think, happened Sunday, right?
Yeah, it was a Sunday Meet the Press. Yeah, so you would think that they would have picked up on that story and talked about it. But
yeah.
It wasn't. It didn't fit their storyline. So they
Hillary never conceded. She still doesn't. And now, to Hillary's defense, in her mind, she thinks that she won it because she was told she won it because the fix was in. They actually, these elections have not been fair for a long, long time.
Bill.
Trump came along and turned over the apple cart, and they're trying to get their apples and their carts back together.
Bill, and they continue on almost a daily basis to talk about the January 6th insurrectionists.
Well,
unless,
not Joe.
Unless you're Joe Biden.
Yeah. What's he call it?
I'll let him tell you.
Huh. He calls the erectionists who stormed Capitol Hill patriots.
Wait, it may have gone by you fast, so let me run it by you one more time.
He calls the erectionists who stormed Capitol Hill patriots.
They called the erectionists who stormed the Capitol
well,
patriots.
You know, those erectionists
That's
are
right.
a hard
they're
pill
really,
for the left to swallow, you know.
They're stand-up guys. They really are.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. They don't. Well, never mind.
But
there's so many lines there we could go on all day.
Yes, and if we were working a morning show on some radio station, we probably would. But I just
we would be left of center. Yes, we would. But
I got to play that one more time because there were people out there going, did I hear what I think I heard? Listen carefully.
He calls the erectionists who stormed Capitol Hill patriots.
That was in, I think it was at the NAACP convention in Detroit this past weekend. He was on a roll. He was on a roll. You know, never let words get in the way of a good narrative, you know?
That's right. It would be hard not to miss that one, but
we'll leave that alone.
There
it
you go.
It stands on its own merit.
Anyway. You had to get the last word in on that one.
Anyway.
Two just disc jockeys, yeah.
Let's see. Is there anything else we should pass along before we wind this thing up?
I was just, you know, looking here at notes from yesterday and today.
Listen, Bill, Environmental Protection Agency is warning us of major cyber attacks to U.S. water systems. Now, have you heard about this in the top of the news anywhere? I haven't.
Not in the news. I did read about it. But yeah, the water attacks. There's also attacks on our power grid that's going on. We also know that there have been attacks as simple as they're going after the ham operators, their networks that gets the database of who they are and where they are. Why are we – look, China is flexing their muscle. I think what they're doing is they're hacking in and they're getting ready to – you shut down our electric grid, we're screwed. You shut down our water, we're dead.
Listen, here's what they wrote. They wrote, the Environmental Protection Agency has issued an enforcement alert urging water systems to take immediate action to protect the nation's drinking water from foreign cyber attacks. I guess everything now with these installations are done with computers. And I guess they can be hacked.
Yeah. Everything can be hacked. And that's what's really scary about things. And we've even given our computer system over to people like Zuckerberg and, you know, the powers that be with all that social media. Google, these clowns, everything that you do goes up in the cloud. So be careful about what you have on your phone or do. And don't accept it. They go, oh, you got free cloud space. So what? Keep it. Stick it where the sun don't shine. Because once they have, let's say that you have a private email. That's up on the cloud. That can be used against you. You see it happening all the time. I'm just warning you right now that what's going on is really bad. And you're not hearing all the news, as Jim says.
No. Last night, for an hour, Pope Francis was interviewed by, I guess it was CBS, and I couldn't watch it because as much as I believe in my faith, I think this guy is a political politically installed pope. In a 60 Minutes interview with Nora O'Donnell, Francis denounced efforts by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to shut down a Catholic charity that is enabling the passage of thousands of illegal aliens across our southern borders. He does not believe in borders, folks, this pope.
Well,
he thinks it's okay if you want to just stroll into a country. And, you know, never mind the fact, another thing that I read yesterday was that you cannot imagine the number of criminals and prisoners that are being shipped across our borders from, like, Venezuela and other Central American countries. You know, you want to get out of prison in Venezuela? Say, okay, I'll go across the U.S. border. I'll go.
I think there's a bigger picture what's going on with our open border and what's with everything with it. I think I referred to it in yesterday's show. Too long to get into and explain, but there is an agenda, and everyone goes, oh, there's not a deep state. There's been a deep state for a long, long time.
Yep.
Members on both sides of the aisle are part of it, and this is just the next phase of what is going on with the open borders and everything going on. Back to the Pope, you know, I would ask you a question. You know, do you believe in God?
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay, and so the Pope should believe in God too, right?
Of course. Well, he says he does.
Okay, so he's in, but he's basically saying the Bible is fluid, right? That it can, you can adapt it for time and change it.
Well,
could you show me the scripture in the Bible that says that? Because the Bible is God's word. So if you believe in God and that's his word, you don't change it for him.
Here's what he's saying with what he said about the border. We have laws. It's a matter of fact, friends. We have got immigration laws that we've enacted legally in our country to protect our citizens, which our administration is not paying any attention to. What he's saying is ignore the laws. Now, I refer, and I'm not a Bible scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but there's a saying, and I may screw it up. I'm sure there are some scholars out there who will correct me, but basically it's render under Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, okay? And they were saying, you know, if there's a law, a legal law, then abide by it. And, you know, and if there's a godly law, you abide by the godly law. Our law to protect our country is actually a godly law. You may say, what do you mean? Well, by having a protection on our southern border, we protect all of the American citizens along that border who have ranches and homes, have families, have children, have people who have invested their lives into that area, and we've turned our back on them, okay? That's not a Christian move by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, how many good Americans have died as a result of illegals who've come into this country? You know, how many people have been killed because illegals have done things that are wrong, that are illegal, and it's a direct result of them coming across into this country without any kind of, supervision. We just let them across. And that's all on Biden and his administration. You can't point to Trump for that. I could go on and on. We could do a whole show on the border. But I do think the Pope, by the way, this Pope, you know, he's the first Pope in my lifetime who
that's
was installed.
Dope.
Well, yeah, he was installed. He was installed by who? I don't know. But all I can tell you is that up until this guy came along, you had to die to replace a pope. And all of a sudden, they decided to make Pope Benedict a Pope Emeritus. And they moved him aside. And they
a set of retread tires.
They moved him aside, and they stuck in this guy here who was a socialist from Argentina. And he looks like a nice old guy. Oh, the Pope, isn't he? He has an agenda. A lot of people think he's part of the whole deep state movement. You know, put somebody into that position who will help influence the world. You know, but anyway, I could go on and on. But that being said, I still go to Mass every Sunday, so.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you ever heard of the AFP. Have you heard of that?
AFP, refresh my memory, Bill.
Americans for Prosperity. It's conservatives, libertarians, and whatnot. It's,
I think I have,
but it's right-leaning people. They got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say this week, and I'm sure the Democrats will lay claim to it, but it has nothing to do with them. But if you happen to see a van that says Bidenomics on it by a gas station, you might want to pull in and top off your tank, because what they're doing is they're buying gas down to where it was pre-Biden when things were low under Trump, because they want to remind Americans across the country of what gas prices used to be under Trump. And so
if you pull in and it's like a $40 worth of gas, they will come in over to you and make up the difference, and you'll actually
They're rolling down the pumps right then and there.
Wow.
So, and because they want you to see the $1.99, $2.09 prices, not the, you know, I mean, I saw them yesterday, $3.67, $5-something, and they're only going to go up now with what's going on in the Middle East because, you know, I hear Democrats, they read this thing, they get the memo saying, oh, you know, we're the biggest exporter of oil and gas. And I looked at them and I said, okay, are we producing that oil out of Texas? Well, no. Alaska? No. Pennsylvania? No. Offshore? That's where we're doing it? No. Well, then, where the hell are we doing it from? We're not. You know, Joe gave it all away, and we're having to buy it. So,
I wonder, Bill, what can you say? How can we possibly, everything you're saying is just, makes your eyes cross, but, anyway, this is interesting. Before we wrap the show up, there's a group of women. I don't know if you read about this. Mm-hmm. They're wealthy women who are paying a lot of money to go out into the woods.
And scream in the jungles?
and scream in the woods. Now, let me just say that it's not a new idea.
Oh, no.
No, there was a woman, I don't know how long ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, who was part of a group that went out into the woods and was pleading for the trees to not go away. Okay, don't die off. Don't give up on us because we love you. But she says it better than me. Listen.
I want to mourn the loss of all the old growth trees I've seen. And tell them that we love them and that we don't want them to die. That there are some people here who do care. So I want you to know that, trees. That we care.
Oh, gosh. You know, this is what happens when you close down the asylums, you know? All the mental institutions that were closed down
in
the
70s. Trees cut off for oxygen supply or something?
I don't know.
Just asking. I don't know. But, you know, it reminds me of a meme that I saw the other day. Never pick a fight with a woman older than 40. They're full of rage and sick of everyone's crap.
But
and
yeah,
I'm like going,
but I think this woman is, she's got other issues.
Yeah, she's got other issues. Yeah, I mean,
above and beyond.
You know, women could be fed up with us guys' crap. I get that
Bill,
one.
I would have played the other video of the people screaming in the woods, but they had music on it, and it was, you know.
There you go, though. You know, you're looking for some quick cash. Uh-huh. Because the I don't think it's just women, though. I think there's guys, too, that would go out there. And look, you can go out there, no questions asked, nobody's going to judge you. $500, you get to go out into the woods,
and
or
scream.
I got a big lake, and I got a pontoon boat, so I'm going to take five people out, $250 each, and we'll go out in the middle of the lake, and you just scream your lungs out. You've got 45 minutes, and we come back.
You know, there are a lot of people who are frustrated with our political situation who might take you up on this. You know, holy smokes.
Well, I have another idea, but I'll tell that to you off the air because we might be, yeah. I think I know a hook.
Okay, we'll save that for off the year. I think we should wrap this up, but I want to play one more time just so you can leave the show with a smile.
He calls the erectionists who stormed Capitol Hill Patriots.
Nothing like those erectionists. Anyway, my friend, if you want to contact us, you can go to our website, www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. Okay? And that, all the stuff we have, our shows there. By the way, I should point this out. All of our most recent shows are usually posted by about 10:30. No later maybe than 10:30, 11 o'clock Eastern time, okay? Sometimes there's a little problem, so a glitch, but usually by 10:30, 11 o'clock Eastern time, the newest show is posted, and you can find it there and enjoy it to your heart's content. All of our back shows are there, too, if you want to just really have a feast of great talk radio. You can just go there and listen to each show back-to-back. And tell your friends, too, will you? And I think with that, my friend, I'm just about done. I'm ready to put a fork in this one. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, that's it. I can only think of one thing.
What's that?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here.
This is CRN America.